Okay, so let's start shir for today. We're having shir now on Shluchim Mitzvah Pturim and Nasaka. Obviously, that is engaged in a much larger sugya of Osek Mitzvah Pturim and Mitzvah. We're focusing more on the local sugya, specifically local Rashi, local Taisvis, that you guys should have prepared for the shir today. And I figured we'd talk a little bit more about the Shittos to explain them. I actually have, after shir, an assignment for you guys that will hopefully serve as a bonus assignment for the next test. Entirely extra credit, but will be helped out by your understanding of this shir. And really, again, stays within the sukkah element, doesn't really veer off to the other sukkahs and the, so many other applications of osuk mitzvah, patur, and mitzvah. Obviously, the svara remains the same. Obviously, this is an application of osuk mitzvah, patur, and mitzvah, but I'm trying to stay as close to sukkah as I can. I mean, you're not going to see a lot of citations from other mesachtos and things like that. Sure. Okay. The Mishnah tells us that shluchim mitzvah turim asukah. One other important source, which is actually mentioned in Tosfos, actually comes from Daf Chafav, is a couple of lines there on Daf Chafav. If you jump to Daf Chafav, we'll look at that inside for a moment. We have on Daf Chafav, says the Gemara, Hochel and Dvar Mitzvah, if you're going to a mitzvah, Bein Purim, Pturim, Bein Bayom, Bein Balala, you're Pater during the day and at night. Kihadra Fist of Arava Barakuna, like a Fist of Arakuna, Kihavo Aile Bishabata, the Rigla, the Beresh Galusa, when they would come up on the Shabbos of the Regal to the house of the Beresh Galusa, have a Ganu Arak to the Zura, they would sleep by the edge of the river in Surah. And Amri, they said, Anan Shluchim Mitzvah, Anan Pturim, we're Pater because we're Shluchim Mitzvah. So that's also, again, a clear example of the case of how Shluchim Mitzvah, Pturim, and Asukah, that's the way that we cited in the Gemara here. So, first let's deal with Shitas Rashi. Rashi on the Mishnah tells us that it's not just at the time that they are actually physically performing a mitzvah that they are Pater, even when they are resting or camping, they are Pater as well. Basically, what that sounds like is, from the beginning of the mitzvah performance until the mitzvah is completed, okay, and I think that's an important way to put it, they are pater from the mitzvah of sukkah. However, Rashi gives a little bit more clarity to this. If you look at the Rashi's back on Daf Chavav, on that Gemara that we mentioned, where Rashi there notes that it's because they are focused on it. Meaning, how does Rashi consider them to be pturim min hasukkah? For just being osuk mitzvah pater min mitzvah, we could have looked at it in a couple of ways. We could have looked at it as bishas chaniyasam, then not being considered osuk b'mitzvah, but it would have been too disturbing to the time that they would be osuk b'mitzvah for them to go and seek a sukkah then. That's one way to look at it, and we will see it that way a little bit later. However, says Rashi, no, it's clear that their status of osuk b'mitzvah never stops. They're always osuk b'mitzvah. Why? Because they're always thinking about the mitzvah, even when they're resting, even when they're stopped. That seems to be the way that Rashi looks at it and explains it on Daf Chafav. Now, the way to really try to understand Rashi is that we still don't know what does it mean pturim min ha-mitzvah, pturim min ha-sukkah in this case. What really does that phrase mean? And I think that phrase can be explained by two ways that the Meiri has of explaining this halacha altogether. One way the Meiri has is that he says, and here's his language, va'afilu b'shas chaniyasam b'layla o b'yom, even when they are parked or resting during the night or day, in tzrichin liknos etzim la'asos b'hem sukkah. You don't need to buy wood to make a sukkah with, right? Again, ein tzrichim liknos esim la'asos bahem sukkah. You don't need to buy wood to build a sukkah with. What does it mean, pturim in a sukkah? I think the Meiri would tell you the pturim means you don't have to build a sukkah. You don't have to go out of your way and buy a sukkah. You don't have to travel very far for a sukkah. But pturim in a sukkah doesn't mean that the mitzvah of sukkah doesn't apply to you if it's very easily accessible. That may be a way of looking at what it means to be pater. However, he brings another opinion there as well, which is the opposite. He says, no. Even if you would find a sukkah right where you're camping, you still wouldn't need to. Right? And it sounds like the way that Rashi is learning, the simple way to learn Rashi, is really to say that since the entire time, again, as we mentioned, you are focused on the mitzvah. So if that's the case, you're always considered osuk b'mitzvah. And it seems, again, that the simplest way to read Rashi and the way that some Rishonim will understand Rashi is to say, even if you've got a mitzvah right next to you, you've got a sukkah 1 inch away from where you're sitting, you are pater from sitting in that sukkah. You do not have to go to it. Although, you could make the argument that Rashi is just simply saying, what does it mean that you're pater? It means you don't have to go and do all this work to walk away, you know, 5 miles in order to get to the sukkah. So So it's something to think about based on the Miri Tiferet Yisrael. By the way, in explaining the words Beturim and Asuka, he says that it means you don't need to do a lot of work to get to it. You don't need to do, you don't need to build it, you don't need to. But he says that's what Peturim and Asuka means, and this is actually based on the Pesach Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, which is not necessarily Shitas Rashi, but could be, depending on how you look at it. But he bases it off Shulchan Aruch. And the Poskim, he says, if there would be zero tircha whatsoever, then he said you'd be chayiv to go, or perhaps even a very minimal tircha that we wouldn't consider to be any sort of heavy amount of work. Now, we then get to Tosfos. Any questions so far?
Good.
No, I'm not trying to ask you to find questions at this point. And for the sake of those listening to the recording, we spoke about beforehand about having more of an interactive session, but also not specifically just trying to extend the share.
You said the opposite opinion is that you're still putter, like after you spoke with the Meiri, who... You said the opposite opinion
is...
You bring
down two opinions?
Like you bring, and the second opinion is like... And I'd say this is the first opinion? Like what is it?
The first opinion is that you don't need to go and buy wood and build a sukkah. The second one is that even if... He doesn't say travel explicitly, but the implication is that even travel. The second sheet that he brings says even if you found a sukkah built in that city that they are camped in, they still don't need to go and schlep out to it. Still sounds like there's a minimal amount of tircha, perhaps, but you could say that that's considered not enough tircha, and that's what he's trying to get at. You do have to look at the whole sheet of the Meiri, right? He says, right? B'she'en lahem shum ikuv v'halichas ha'meis l'sukkah. Even when there will be no delay, no holdup for them to go to the sukkah, still they would be pater in his opinion, but that's the sheet of the Meiri. He's not necessarily, again, saying this in Rashi, but we said it's possible to learn Rashi in both ways. Either that Rashi is just saying pater means you don't have to make a big schlep out of it, or that pater actually means, like, even if there's no schlep whatsoever. Okay, now Tosfos didn't really like Rashi, as you guys will remember, because you learned Tosfos. Tosfos had some objections to Rashi. One of his objections was basically, he said, hey, if someone's wearing tzitzit, so they're going to be pater from all mitzvahs in the Torah? Right, that's a mitzvah, so osik mitzvah, pater man mitzvah. You can do them both. So what? Rashi says, even if you're able to do them both, you're pater. Again, Tosfos is learning Rashi similar to that second case, right? Where pater means you're entirely 100% off the hook, even if it's something you can easily do. Tosfos end up concluding, right, that the only time you're pater is when you're actually physically involved with the mitzvah. Okay, again, Rashi, as we said earlier, probably says that it's when you're emotionally or mentally involved in the mitzvah. Tosfos says, no, it's only when you're physically involved. And they bring a raya from Darim, they bring, you know, and he says that basically, even in the cases of Tur Mafilu Balayla and things like this, it's only talking about where, if you would do this other mitzvah of Sukkah, you would not be able to fulfill the mitzvah that you're going to do. Which is hard to understand. The question then arises, how would we answer this for Rashi? Tosfos really have a fair question of the tzitzis and tefillin question. It's really an extremely strong question. Let's put aside the sugya nedarim, because you know how you learn that exactly. I don't want to get into that. That's too far, as we said, out of the mesach that we're dealing with. But the question of Tosfos, a logical question to say, if someone's wearing tzitzis, according to Rashi, it would turn out they're going to be pater from all other mitzvos. How can you answer such a question? That's a really good question on Rashi. There are a number of answers given. On behalf of Rashi, one, I saw you guys had the Arza Ruah out this week. That was your big championed cause. The Arza Ruah had a son named Reb Chaim Eliezer. His name was Reb Yitzchak of Vienna. His son was Reb Chaim Eliezer. So he's known as Maharach Arza Ruah, the son. And anyways, he has tshuvos, and his tshuvos simen kuf pei gimel. Okay, so 183 in the responsa of Maharach Arza Ruah.
It's on Daf Yomi. This one is also
Daf Yomi,
the website.
What, this Arza Ruah was there?
Yeah.
Oh, it brought it. No, beautiful. So you guys know it.
I think it was
brought this. Okay, if some of you saw it, great. He basically says, he says there's a difference between being Oseik b'mitzvah and being Mekayim b'mitzvah. The way that I would tend to explain what he's saying here, he says, first of all, he gives one excellent raya, which proves just how ludicrous such a position would be. And he basically says, well, all men have a bris milah. So no one ever has to do any mitzvahs, because no men have to do mitzvahs because they have a bris milah. They're pater, right? They're being mekayim the mitzvah milah. He says, no, there's being mekayim a mitzvah and being osik a mitzvah. Again, and the way that I would tend to explain it is the following. What he seems to be saying is that once you've already completed the mitzvah, even if its effects are still ongoing, meaning once you've already finished doing the maisa, even though you're still being mekayim the mitzvah, that's not considered asuk b'mitzvah anymore.
How is that possible?
Because you're not osik in it.
So wait,
you've already done the action. So he would say that Rashi says, and again, this is explaining his opinion the way I understand it, that Rashi would say, when are you considered asuk b'mitzvah? From when you start an action until when you complete the action. Meaning when you finish doing the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. However, if you've completed the action, meaning I picked up my tzitzis in the morning, I put them on my body, I'm no longer osek in that mitzvah, even though I'm being mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis every second. So obviously even Rashi would agree that you're still chayav in mitzvahs when you're wearing tzitzis. Right? It's not about a efshar l'chayim shneim, efshar l'chayim shneim, it's about whether or not you're asuk b'mitzvah. Again, in his words, right? Dipshita b'sha'a she'inu osek b'mitzvah klum. Right? He says it's only when does this rule apply? That's where he says it applies. Only when you've begun, but you haven't yet completed it. He says, for example, if you're on your way to do the mitzvah, meaning you're traveling in order to see your Rebbe, so fine, there you've started the mitzvah, you haven't completed it. That's when it's considered to be osik b'mitzvah. That's when you're a shluchei mitzvah. But not otherwise.
Wait, who said this?
This is the Marach Arza Ruach, Semen Kuf, Fei Gimel, and Chalas Chupas.
Then you still have Tosfos' question about an Aveda.
In Hanami, I said, we're not dealing with that right now because, again, that's sort of very far away. There will be other ways to do that. There will be other ways to answer that question, but I don't want to get into them now. I want to stay focused on this, but we can talk after Shir. Okay. So that gives us, again, a little bit of clarity in Rashi's Shita, hopefully. But we do have Tosfos who hold that really it's only when there's actually some sort of conflict that you don't have to do the second mitzvah. If there's no conflict, meaning after the Kham Shneim, then you would have to. There's an interesting Shita in the Mordechai, which is kind of in between. It's really just an adaptation of Tosfos, and it's really a logical extension of Tosfos, but it turns out very similar to Rashi. The Mordechai cites the opinion of the Ravya, and the Mordechai can be found in the back of your Gemaras, and Mordechai goes in Ramazim. So it's Remez Tafshin Mem. Okay? And you can look that up in the back. Your Gemara is a very short one. He says, some Gemaras actually now organize it al Seder Hadaf, and give you headings at the beginning of each stuff. I think most modern Gemaras will have that. Like those Vahadars and things. I don't know what this Gemara, I don't even remember if this Gemara had a Mordechai in it. I think it did, and we were sort of like, oh. You probably won't look up too much stuff unless I give you that. Yeah, so you do have it.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Anyways, well, you'll be able to look it up in the Remez. Okay, so it's the Mordechai can be found again in Remez Tafshin Mem. Says the Mordechai. Please don't. I mean, if you want, you can look it up now. No, you can look it up now.
Yeah,
if you guys all have your Gemara in front of you, look it up. It's Tafshin Mem. See if you can find it. Remez Tafshin Mem.
Tafshin Mem Ches.
Mm-hmm. So it's before Tafshin Mem Ches.
Yes, Nami Tes. Mem Aleph. So it's in between here, no? Where is he?
Oh, do you guys see it?
Okay.
Wait, mm-hmm.
So it does have the daf on it. Daf chafav.
It doesn't say the daf.
You guys see it? Okay, it's on the second page of the Mordechai.
Right,
second.
No, you had it.
Right over there. Yeah, right over there. Right after the start of the... Right, Nira L'Rav. Yeah, you see it. V'holchei mitzvah peturin bein bayom bein balayla. People are going to mitzvah pater bein bayom bein balayla. Nira L'Rav. Yeah, you guys see it?
Yeah.
Are you following along? Because it will help you to be able to see the words. Nira L'Rav. Yeah, mishum decheshenachem b'yishinim balayla lahan asan. The Ravya explains that when people rest and sleep at night in a way that benefits them in a nice way, yecholin lasok l'machar tvei, then they're able to do the mitzvah better the next day. Meaning, if you eat a shvach meal in the sukkah, and I'm applying this to eating, this is not what he says. Explicitly, he talks about sleeping. He says, someone has a good shluf. There's a difference between sleeping in a hotel and sleeping in a sukkah. You sleep in a sukkah, okay. It may not be too much of a shluf. It may not be out of your way. It may not be such a tircha. But you know what? The next day, you won't have, listen to the shir as well as you would have otherwise because you didn't get such a great sleep maybe. He says, but again, when you're yishen in balayla al-hana asa, and then the next day you'll be able to do better. You'll be able to do the mitzvah better. So he really, it's interesting, the way that he explains it is as follows. He says, even though lamaskana, this is going to end up like Rashi, that meaning, even at night, you're always going to be pater because you're going to be considered like an osek b'mitzvah, but really what it is an application of Tosfos. Right? He's simply saying Tosfos that says there's going to be a conflict. He's saying there's going to be a conflict in as much as if you sleep in the sukkah and you eat for this and you know you're not in the right mental state, it's going to impact your mitzvah observance later on. So it's an interesting shita. We can discuss that a little bit more. There's a lot to talk about here, the way it's phrased especially. But so again, let's move on with that.
Is it going against Tosfos, this?
It's like, not really. Tosfos will essentially have to agree with this. And that's why I said really it's just a modification of Tosfos, because Tosfos can't ignore the fact. Because Tosfos can't ignore the fact that it says Pturim Bein Bayom Bein Balayla.
Yeah.
Right? According to Tosfos, that's only relevant if there's an actual conflict. But if there's no conflict, the Mordechai says they will still be Pater Balayla, and they will still be able to sleep in their hotel rather than in the Sukkah for these practical reasons. But there is a little gap in between them, and I say this because, again, practically it ends up being closer to Rashi. In theory, though, it's very, very close to Tosfos. Anyways, in terms of the Psak Halachan, we'll get back to this, is the Ran. We have the Ran here. basically, he quotes Tosfos, and he brings all Tosfos' questions, and then he has one line. He says, basically, he's like, it's really nice. Tosfos brought all these great rayas, and like, this is their like opinion. But like, at the end of the day, says the Ran, like, it just pashta de mil salam ashmakein. He's like, you read the simple Gemara, you read the simple Mishnah, you read the simple story. It just doesn't sound like that, right? He's like, you had the story of Rav Chisda and Rav Huna. Like, that really doesn't sound like what Tosfos was saying. It really sounds like what Rashi was saying. However, though, he qualifies it by admitting at the end of the day, right, that when it's easy to be Mekayim Shneim, right, and there's no tircha, there's no extra effort that has to be expended, he says he would agree that in that case you do have to, not only are you allowed to, but you have to do the other mitzvah. He says basically, you know, like, he doesn't use language of chayiv, because he doesn't want to say it goes against pater, but he says basically, practically speaking, when you can easily do both, you still have to do both. And people would apply this even to Rashi's shita, I think. You can look this up in the Ran, you know, after the fact, but he says basically, v'adai shekol she'enu tzarech l'tzarech klal ela kidarko b'mitzvah rishona yachal latzei sidei shneem t'vichei agavna v'adai yatzei sidei shneem v'yos tov al yikara. There's a question, the Ritva. The Ritva notes that that this rule comes to tell us that when you're putter from the mitzvah, it means you're actually not allowed to do it. And that's something that's implied in other Rishonim. It's part of a longer discussion, but nevertheless, something worth knowing about this Ritva to say that it would actually seemingly be usher to do the other mitzvah if it came up under certain circumstances. If it was a shlep, and if it was the Ritva.
The Ritva.
If it, right? Again, how much of a shlep does it have to be? This is sort of the discussion of the Ran and the Ritva, but it's very clear that according to many, many poskim, if it in fact is a shlep and it is going to cause some sort of chisaron in the mitzvah that you're going to do in order for you to be mekayim this mitzvah, it actually may be usher to do that. That's really the point that I'm trying to get across here. However, if it's not something which is a tircha, as the Ran notes, you would actually be yotze both the mitzvos if you went ahead and did it when it was right near you. Finally, in terms of psak, if you get down, Shulchan Aruch quotes a language of the Gemara. He says, "Pturim ben asoka bein bayom," right? That shulchan mitzvah, "Pturim ben asoka bein bayom bein balayla." And it's sort of hard to understand how he paskins. You have to look back to the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef cited the Ran at length, and it seems that maybe he's paskining like the Ran. However, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Lamid Vav, okay, in 36, Mishnah Berurah and Simen Taf Resh Mem, that's where this is, okay, so Simen Taf Resh Mem and Hilchos Sukkah, Sifkat and Lamid Vav actually says explicitly, Pturim in Asukah, Afilu Bishas Chaniyasan V'yesh Lifnehem Sukkah Benuya, says the Mishnah Berurah, literally the following words, Afilu even, Bishas Chaniyasan when they are camping, when they are resting, V'yesh Lifnehem Sukkah Benuya, and there is a built Sukkah in front of them, they are Pater. That is the way that he explains the Shulchan Aruch here. And it seems that he follows the Shita of Rashi also in the next one, Bein Bayom Bein Balayla, because he mentions this idea that they're thinking about the mitzvah. However, he then, on the Ramah makes a short note, which says, Ayin Le'el Semen Lamed Ches, look earlier in Semen Lamed Ches in Or HaChaim, which is where the other Osek B'mitzvah Pater Min HaMitzvah Sugya comes up. He basically says, Mishnah Berurah says, if you look there, it's clear that if there's no effort that needs to be expended, then you do need to. Right?
Who said that?
The Mishnah Berurah notes that what the Ramah is saying is that, in Semen Lamed Ches, the conclusion of the poskim there is that if there is no extra effort that will be expended, you do need to do it, which is completely like at odds.
But the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that.
The Mishnah Berurah does say that. That's the problem. The problem is in Sifkat and Lamed Vav, he says that. In his comment on the end, in Sifkat and Lamed Ches, he says, Dimuchach Sham is clear from there, Didavka kishitzarach litroach achar hasukah. He says, it's only the case that you're pater when you need to expend effort. Avalim ein tzarach litroach achareha, but if there's no need to expend that extra effort, kigon sheyesh sukkah mizumenes lefanav, for example, if you had a sukkah standing there right in front of you, right? Tzarech lechnos besukkah v'lechav leishon sham. He said, you would actually have to go ahead and be mekayim mitzvah sukkah in that case, which is completely 100% at odds with what he wrote in Sifkat and Lamed Vav. Again, in Lamed Vav, he writes explicitly, even if you have a sukkah built in front of you, you don't need to go in your pater min hasukkah. In Sifkat and Lamed Ches, he writes explicitly the opposite, based on the Ramah earlier on over there. And he says that you would need to, in that case, go into a sukkah. It's hard to know how to deal with this explicit stira that's right next to each other in the Mishnah Berurah. Two possibilities that I'm going to bring you. First, I'll bring you the one that I don't agree with, which you can look up in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah. Dirshu Mishnah Berurah brings the opinion that even when he says, V'yesh lifnehem sukkah benuya, it means it's still a schlep to go there somehow. I'm not sure how or why that is. That's a very dachuk answer to explain the Mishnah Berurah. Another possibility, which needs further discussion in terms of whether or not the Mishnah Berurah does this often enough, is it could be that he was explaining the Shulchan Aruch's opinion of Peturim in Hasukkah, Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla, to be actually in line with Rashi, the way that we originally envisioned Rashi, that even if you have a sukkah sitting there in front of you, you don't need to enter at all. And you're completely 100% putter, even if there is minimal or no sircha. And the way that he's explaining the Shulchan Aruch is in Sifkat and Lamed Vav, Sifkat and Lamed Zayin, and his comment in Sifkat and Lamed Ches actually comes on what the Ramah said. It could be that he holds the Ramah argues on this, and the Ramah will actually paskin that if there's no tircha, you will need to enter into a sukkah in such a case. So again, stira between Lamed Vav and Lamed Ches. One possibility is to say that Lamed Vav is talking about where there actually is tircha. Another possibility is to say that Lamed Ches is just the opinion of the Ramah. That I think works a little bit better, but maybe not in the general scope of things. It seems, you know, that almost all poskim seem to follow the opinion that, again, if you can do it without tircha, if there is no tircha, you'll actually be required to go ahead and do the other mitzvah. Last question, and then so he uses the word tsarech here. Okay. It's hard to say mechuyev because like pater and chiyuv come at odds with each other, but it's like one of these areas where like you'd have to be a real good for nothing to not do a mitzvah that you're just able to do so easily. Again, you'd have to look back now at the Ritva. As we said earlier, the Ritva says that once you're pater from a mitzvah, you're not allowed to do it because it's right now considered something only like davar rishus. Whereas the Ran said when there is very minimal tircha, it's actually, you will get the schar for doing that mitzvah. But there's a lot to look up, and again, the Rishonim are all here on a sugya. Everything else in Shulchan Aruch is on Tafresh Mem, and we had the Shells of Chuvas from the Arz Aruch of Beit Gimel. We had the Mordechai also on our sugya, now that you guys know where that is. Tiferet Yisrael on Mishnayos, the Meiri over here on our sugya, Rashi on our sugya, and the Gemara on our sugya. But overall, hopefully this gives you a bit of a better picture as to A, the Shita of Rashi, B, the Shita of Tosfos a little bit, and how we will paskin here, as well as some of the related issues, and we'll talk about an assignment right now. Shkoyach.